We extend Christian greetings to all of you. It's a privilege and an honor to be here today. We pray that somehow God will minister to your need today, that the Spirit would guide and direct in our service this morning. It's been a little while since I preached, and what do they say? If you don't do something so often, maybe you'll get rusty. Well, I don't really feel rusty, but the message I'm going to share this morning kind of got prompted by our trip out west. We went Route 66, Route 66, whatever you want to call it, in an old truck. And my brother had an old 52 Chevy. And through all of that experience, we became noticed or gained some recognition by a lot of people. And we sent some apps back with pictures and all that kind of stuff. But it was interesting to me how many reports of this and that we experienced and found out about. And through all of that, I felt led to share a message on, funny title, but grievous gossip. Now, we gained a lot of good support and encouragement and everything else. But on the other hand, we had one lady tell my wife that you'll be fortunate if you make it out of Pennsylvania after they saw our vehicle. And I thought, wow, thanks. But you know what? It made me think to make sure that all things work well so that we can do our trip well and all that kind of stuff. And just there was a host of things that were talked about. Maybe truth, maybe not truth. But, you know, as God's children, we need to be a people that is edifying each other, strengthening each other in the faith. And a lot of that happened, and we were encouraged a lot, too. I'm not saying that. But I sense the leading for this message because of what gets shared. And I'd like to, the text is going to be taken from Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 25. And then I might add three or four verses from chapter 8. Romans 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of his death, of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'd like to leave off reading there. There was one word, first of all, I make the comment that there's one word in this portion of Scripture that I saw. It says in verse 8 of chapter 7 that but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. And I think what Paul was injecting here is the fact that in ourselves, within, we do not have a good thing to boast about. We are born in the flesh. We derived in life with a problem within. It doesn't take long till a child will express themselves, and you know what I'm talking about. But when we think about how we were born in the sin, and we were born in flesh that is corrupt, but it's through Jesus Christ that things changed. And I like what the Apostle Paul adds. He says, he finds in verse 18, for I find in me that there is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. What he's injecting is when he grew up to understand what the Bible is teaching and what the law says are the scriptures, and how we need to apply our lives to that is when we find within ourselves, the flesh, the sinful condition that needs to be dealt with. And that's why he expressed himself so much of how I would do this and don't do it, and how I'd like to do this and I don't, and back and forth he goes when he talks about that. But as we think about this word concupiscence, I'd like to just say that it expresses it this way in the definition that Webster gives. He says, to desire eagerly, wish for a strong or abnormal desire as an appetite or sexual desire or lust. That's how Webster spelled it out. But how many times do you think that the word gossip is in the scriptures? Does any of you know how often it's mentioned? That's right. It's not in the Bible. I didn't really realize that when I studied for this message, but gossip is not in the Bible. But there's words that declare it or speak about it and make it parallel to what gossip is. But gossip was a sin back in the Anabaptist days when the Quakers would find, and sorry ladies, but if you were caught gossiping, you know what happened to you? You would get a good dunking. They would put you on they had a pole, a long pole, with a seat mounted out on the end, and it had an end out here that a couple of men could hang on to, and it would pivot on a pole right by the riverbank or the dam or the pond, wherever it was. But they would take that thing and swing it out, and with a lady tied on, and she would get dunked in the river or whatever body of water it was. And I don't know how they determined that that was the thing to do to get them to stop gossiping. I wouldn't appreciate it. You didn't know if you were ever going to come up alive again. But that was one way they dealt with the situation back in the day. The Quakers did that. And they thought that would stop gossiping. But I guess it's still an age-old thing, isn't it? Well, thinking about that, the Bible in Proverbs, we understand him as being a very knowledgeable guy. But in those days, Back when Solomon wrote Proverbs, he spelled out the word talebearer, and he also spelled out the word slanderer, and that comes out in Proverbs 15:4. It's found talebearer. Let's first of all look at that. Well, I would like to add, first of all, I didn't finish with my word, but that concupiscence puts it all into a focus and picture of what is a desirous situation that draws people's attention to be, and we want to look at 3 points this morning. The first one's going to be, what is the cause of gossip? What is the result of gossip? And then the concluding one is, what is the solution to gossip? I'd like to look at those three areas. But let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It talks about the talebearer here. Be there in a minute. Chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Let's add verse 10. It says, there I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And there is nothing we must remember that is hidden, that is not hidden from God. God knows everything. That's according to the scriptures here. It says God searches the heart, and when God knows the condition and inside of the heart, that means he knows how I am, that I can keep nothing hidden from him. It is all brought out before him. So the Bible encourages us in many ways in stretching our minds to the thought of what what Solomon, the wisest man in the world, wrote here in Proverbs, and we'll be looking at a few terms. But I'd like to look at the definition for talebearer, first of all, which he spells out quite often. And it says here in Webster's definition, a person who spreads scandals, tells secrets, and gossips. Now, I'd like to take that word apart and say this. A tale is something telling a true or fictitious story about someone or something. And then bearer is a person who carries it around and spreads it everywhere as opportunity affords them. That is how the word is ministered out and possibly can turn into gossip. Now, I'd like to think a little bit about another word that we're going to look at later, but it's slanderer. That's in the Bible. And in that definition for that word is making utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement or comments damaging to a third person's character or reputation. And thinking about those definitions, we're going to do a test this morning. I'm going to look for 3 individuals, adults or young people, that are willing to be used to do this. And in the days gone by, we used to call it whisper down the lane. Do you remember that? As children, we'd sit in a line, and somebody would give a sentence or something, and then down at the end, that person was supposed to say what the first person said. So I'm going to look for 3 individuals that are willing to do this. I'm going to tell the first person something, and then that person is going to tell the next, and that one tell the last one, and the last one shall be able to repeat what they had heard from the others. And I'm doing that not just trying to tell you how it works, but I want to show you how it works. And I made the sentences long enough that there's probably going to be something ain't going to come out right. And yet, it can be if they listen closely and have a sharp mind. So, 3 individuals. Who wants to do this? Dwayne? 2 more. Josh? Okay, Reagan. I'm gonna have Dwayne and Josh and then you. And you can take, you probably wanna write it down. You're supposed to get it from Josh that he has it straight. Okay, you guys can come up here. And I'm gonna go on with the message while you just work this out. But I'm not giving you this paper, but I'm whispering it to you, and you can tell Josh and whisper to him. Don't let Reagan hear you. And then Reagan can write it down. And I want to see where you come out. Okay? A book, man. I know. I don't want to make it real easy for you. Let's see what you come out with. You good? You want it again? You want another time?
No, we got a bigger point here, so.
Yeah. Okay, while they get that processed, and then Reagan can tell me what he got. And then I'm going to tell you what I said to Dwayne, and then I'm going to read to you what Reagan wrote. And I want to do this just for a real reason. You think back into your life, personally, how many times you might have said some things to some people that you weren't sure if it was totally legitimate or not, but you would share it, and then later on you would think about all that and try to figure out, did you tell your story right? And the word, okay, I want to go to Proverbs 15 now. Proverbs 15, verses 1 to 4. And let's remember, we want to be named as the children of God. We want to be recognized as children of truth, and we want people to understand what our reputation means in relation to truth and in the relation of who we're representing, which is God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Spirit. Here in Proverbs 15, verses 1 to 4, the Bible says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, let's go back to verse 1. The Bible says there, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous..." Thank you. It says further, "Grievous words stir up anger." I looked up the word grievous as the Bible spells it here, grievous words. It says in the Webster that causing suffering hard to bear, severe pain or grief. Now I want you to picture in your mind, did you ever in your life say something to somebody that you regretted you ever said it. And did you ever say anything to anybody that you're not sure you told them the whole truth of the story? Think this through. Let's remember something about our lives. Back in the day, when children are first born, they go through the process of becoming very demanding. They want milk at the right time. They want a diaper change at the right time. They want this and they want that. And you're there to provide that need, and which is fine. But as that child grows up, you start to see in their lives that something is changing in the process of the way they look at things. And then there comes a time you're going to develop their relationship to you. You're going to make them have a character and a personality that needs to be developed and made into something that will be a God-fearing child. And that is a great responsibility. But when you look at your own personal life and you realize who you are and you need to measure up to be what you can be to make them be that person, that's two different things you're looking at. But grievous words stir up anger. And do you ever know of a time, as I was saying what I did about all that, do you remember any time that you might have disturbed somebody? We just had that this morning, but that was what I want to say this much about how people respond to negative things that do not suit them. But you know, when people get mad at you or get upset about something that you were totally truthful, you were totally on top, your integrity came through in Jesus Christ alone, and you had shared your whole heart completely right and trustworthy, but yet somebody became upset. And I want to encourage us in something about that. That is another side of the story. But when you think about what the Holy Spirit is doing and processing in other people's lives and conditions, and when they don't know Christ and they're rejecting that truth, they will have a tendency to get angry and upset with you. That'll happen. That is for real. But woe to us when we have situations and circumstances that happen in our lives when we are at fault for something that happens through some conversation or something we did. Maybe I gave you too much to write, but this is what I wrote. We made our trip out west. On our trip on Route 66, this is what I told Dwayne. On our trip on Route 66, my brother took a 1952 Chevy car, black in color, four-door sedan, in good shape. The engine was a six-cylinder with an automatic power glide transmission. Seems like a lot, don't it? To try and remember in one or two conversations. But this is what Reagan wrote. He wrote, on our Route 66 trip, my brother took a 1952 automatic power glide kit. Descriptions cut a little short, but got the blunt of the drift. I mean, it's close. We just didn't get a lot of details. But that part of it was okay. But what I did that for is for us to understand it took three people. And the size of the conversation I gave Dwayne in versus what little bit we got on the other end, I understand that it was quite lengthy, but I didn't want to give them something simple enough that they would just have it. Because I want us to grab something here. We're in conversation with people all the time. And we're talking about gossip here this morning. And you know what? Your heart within is going to express your thoughts and what you say and converse with. And what I did that for is so that we can grasp a hold of situations where you have shared your concerns and cares and whatever you did in life, where you know that things just weren't quite upright, and how we deal with those situations. But let's think about all of that. And this is what the, I didn't give you the definition of gossip, did I? In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 3, just backing up there two chapters. The Bible says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And I use that verse for one reason. When something is established, it's firm and upright and truthful. And how you and I can condition ourselves so that we can minister to the needs that are around us. And being truthful to the max is what we're really recording here this morning. But let's think about what is the cause of gossip. And you've heard the old saying that some people sometimes share something. I can't believe that or that person or that thing or whatever. And you're sure that's really true? Well, they say, I heard it through the grapevine. Did you ever hear that? I heard it through the grapevine. That means that it could have channeled through three or four or five or six people. And it finally got to you, and you got the message, and you go bear that, and this is what they said. You know, it's easy for us to do that. When we get a message from somebody, and we were pretty sure they're truthful with what they said, well, they told me that, and I believe they said the truth. Don't be sure. Don't be sure. We need to be careful with how we share our words. But gossip is a person who chatters or repeats idle talk and rumors and other affairs. I just say there's a few things I can think about that came out. And I'm not sharing a lot, but we had a wonderful trip. And there's a few things that came out. One time we had trouble with my brother's generator in the car. It was not an alternator. A generator in a 52 Chevy. And fine and all right. Those can happen to any vehicle. You can break down with whatever. But we fixed it. But it ended up, the message was that it was my truck with the alternator. And it was his car with the generator. Well, somehow it didn't get straight. But sometimes my wife would send pictures. And I said, be sure to, you know, send the right ones. So there isn't a lot of discrepancy and all that kind of stuff. But I believe the carefulness that God's children need to use is so vital and important a link in your chain in life that you need to present the proper and perspective that will bear out the total truth in its content as close as you can get it. I'm talking to me too. I'm not being critical. That's not my point here this morning. But I want us to understand, as God's children, we have an obligation and a responsibility to bear out the word. As the Apostle Paul was telling us, which I want to go back to in our text this morning in Romans chapter 7. And it talks about how the Apostle Paul was struggling. But you know, here in the Bible, it says, I didn't write this down, but a thought that came to me about it. He says in verse 9 of chapter 7 in Romans, for I was alive without the law. Now, what he's saying there is he came to be and he had life, meaning physical life. And he says, without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. Do you understand what that means? That means that, and he said, and I died. He needed to die to self and the flesh and know the Holy Spirit working in his life so that he could represent the truth of God. And he was saying that because the law came then, how do you really know what's truth? you somehow were exposed to the contents of Scripture, which through the Holy Spirit convicted your heart that there was sin in your life. Am I wrong? That's how I was. And I had to realize that without Christ in my heart, I was headed for a destiny that would have surely not got me to heaven in the way I wanted to. But I recognized the fact when the commandment came, when the word of God came, when the law came, the understanding of Scripture, I needed to make a change in my life. And I like the way the Apostle Paul, he's quite the guy. Yeah, somebody mentioned that in our, was it in the Sunday school or Josh said, I don't know. But thinking about the Apostle Paul, he was quite the fellow when he says that in verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. That do I. It's kind of backwards language there. But and then he says in verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And that was the time when I believe the Apostle Paul came to the knowledge to understand that where he was headed on the road to Damascus in his condition, you know what the Apostle Paul was? He was out to get all the Christians. And he did not, I believe truly, Paul did not understand what his problem was. He didn't understand what the new message in Christ was supposed to do in his life. But he says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Ah, so he's getting a picture here. It's not just taking the law and reading it as it did in the Old Testament and applying it. You know, they always say that the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament, and then the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And here, I think he was at the crucial point of recognizing the fact that the commandment of the law was not cutting it or doing what it should in his life. Do you follow what I'm saying? And God had a plan when he brought Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came into people's lives. He says here in this verse, he says, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me, 17, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. And there he continues on with giving the struggle of the battle between what his flesh desires to do and what the Holy Spirit is telling him not to do. And folks, that is the place we need to be, that the Holy Spirit in our flesh, as we crucify our lives, will make all the difference as we understand the Holy Written Word. And then we can, through that process, be children of truth. And here, what is the cause of gossip? The first point I have 4 points under each one of them, but what is the cause of gossip is that the sin nature is still within us. That sin nature will not leave you until the physical body dies. That we must grasp a hold of. We are going to have a battle. I remember years ago, I had some meetings at Maranatha school up there, and there was a young fellow came to me after I shared about how you need to live a life of virtuousness in Christ and be careful of how you conduct yourself. He came to me after that and he said, I don't feel like I'm a Christian. He said, because he had given his life to Christ a couple years before. And he said, I still struggle with all these thoughts in my heart sometimes of how I see things, and he was talking about how his desires are attracted to women, and he said that he feels he hasn't overcome that. And I assured him, and folks, we're all in the same place. I assured him that in himself, he's going to continue to be troubled by the sins of the flesh. But it's how you perceive them, what you do with them, that makes all the difference in living a pure life before Jesus Christ. And all of us are at the same place. We need to deal with the sins of our flesh. We crucify them daily. And that's why the Apostle Paul is saying, even Apostle Paul, of all the books he wrote and everything he did and preached, he still admitted here in Romans 7 that the things he really desires to do in his heart, they just don't happen by themselves. We need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit so alive and well in our hearts that we can go forth and be victorious as God's children. And I'm talking about gossip here this morning, and it seems like maybe we consider this a trivial thing, but I don't. And I don't think we can afford to, because it's going to make the difference in how we respond in life. And the second point I have here is, and oftentimes, and dear people, as I put this message together, I thought about numbers of things in relation to what gossip is. But number two is jealousy over others that gain successfully, and we can end up as God's children even to slander them. And it's a bad deal. It should not happen in our lives. We need to rejoice together in the blessings that God showers to his children and to us as his people. And we need to remember that and not be caught with that experience of doing the wrong. Point number three, we'll slander persons to gain favor with their friends. And this is a serious matter. Do you sometimes sit in a collected group and somebody brings up a subject that is a little sore? People struggle with the persons or something. They aren't in the presence of this conversation I'm talking about. But they'll start sharing about something, and you can get yourself involved without really wanting to in your heart. And you'll start agreeing. And then maybe, because they're a pretty good friend, you might even start agreeing with them. And even if it wasn't right, I believe we need to be totally people that are transparent. And if there's a wrong conversation going on, we need to be willing to share from our hearts the truth of what it needs to say. Because I say that to say this. If they talk, and if you kind of watch how you can sit in situations with people, and you kind of, they're closer and closer friends to you, but we need to be careful, because they think you think you're their best friend. But never forget this, they also have other best friends. Always remember that. And the way you can be the best friend is sometimes just be there and support, and not support the situation that's going on. But, and they'll end up possibly talking about you too. Point number four, what's the cause of gossip we're talking about? When we pull down others, it can often make us feel better or look better. Do you ever run into situations like that? People do that kind of thing. And this might sound like trivial things, but it's not. It becomes very serious in the setting of the church. When you read 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, which we won't have time for, but it tells us, how do people know that we are Christians? If we love the brethren or the brotherhood. When we pull down others, it makes it look better. Another thing to take into perspective, when you are sitting with people and you talk about things, sometimes if there's something going around that's being talked about, And you know it's not healthy. You know it's something that maybe should be dealt with outside of trying to share it with others. Maybe you need to be the individual that goes to the person and talks to them directly. But if there are people that like to just hear things, to take them somewhere and talk about them, mark it down. Careful. It needs to be dealt with in a proper perspective. But they might say to you, or you might say to them after they want to know some information, can you keep a secret? Oh, yeah, sure. I can keep a secret. Well, you know what? I can too. I believe we need to respond like that at times. You need to protect and take care of those situations. What is the result of gossip? Point number one is, it's a sign in a person's life of weak spiritual condition. Think that through. It is a sign of a weak spiritual condition in a person's life. One's speech soon reveals the condition of the person's spirituality. In James 1:26, when I was looking at chapter 7 of Romans and preparing for this, I was just reading about the Apostle Paul, how he made out in all his conditions and situations. I had to think of, and I just had a smile with the idea that the Apostle Paul, as much as he preached and taught, he still wasn't without the struggles we are talking about. 1:26 in James, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious, it depends how you take religious. Are we religious people or are we Christian people? There's a lot of religious people around. They do this right and they do that right, but do they really profess the true spiritual Christianity? They should. But here the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And then it adds this in verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the fathers is to visit the fatherless and the widows and to their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And the condition of the world, sometimes we think of that as the world around us. But folks, there is a part of the world that God's children do not get wrapped up and involved in. And Proverbs spells it out, or we don't have time to look at all those verses in Proverbs, but it spells out the fact that God's children become disconnected from the world even in their conversation. Yes, our conversation makes all the difference. We are unspotted from the world in that condition. We need to not be influenced by the way the world does things. Point number two, in what is the result? It will turn people away from God. And the Bible encourages us in Luke chapter 17, it says and speaks about what happens if we are not conditioning our lives after Scripture in the way we should. But in Luke chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come. Now notice what it says, the offenses will come. Yes, they will. You never get that completely stopped. That's how it's going to be. And it goes on and says, but woe unto him through whom they come. And that gives me some hope that I have the strength within myself to be a part of that situation where I can come through at the right perspective. It's through whom they come. And then this is the verse we want. In verse 2, it says, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he was cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And that's what I want to bear out to us this morning, is it will take people away from God. And the Bible encourages us that if we offend one of these little ones, we are going to be accountable for those individuals. according to the scriptures. It were better that we were drowned in the depth of the sea than have that experience. Point number three, what is the result of gossip? People will lose confidence and trust in you. That's a serious one here. Folks, we need to have friends that they can confidentially come to us and we can be a true friend to them. If they can't trust us with keeping a secret, what are we going to be a help to them if they have a situation they need help with? We need to be a people. You remember the little story, you probably read the little book when years ago, children, about the boy who cried wolf. Well, he was a little guy watching the sheep, and he got this idea one day. He was lonely up there in the hill watching the sheep, and he could see down on his hometown, and the people were down there going about talking together and having a good time together, and he was up on the hill watching sheep. Well, they always had told him, if you get yourself into a really hot condition and the wolves show up and want to destroy your flock of sheep, you holler for the town people to come up and we'll help you. He sat there thinking about this and he didn't realize the consequences. But he sat there and finally he thought, boy, it'd be nice to have the people come up. He's kind of lonely. And so he hollered, wolves, wolves, wolves. And all the townsfolk came running. And he enjoyed that so much that he did it again and again. And, well, it was two or three times. And after the second or third time, he actually had a flock of wolves, or a pack of wolves come after his sheep, and they were destroying his flock. Wolves, wolves, wolves! The people are down in town. Yeah, this is the third or fourth time he said it. There's probably no wolves. And nobody went up to help him. Folks, he lost their trust. He lost the fact that he was an honest person in what he represented. And we can be in the same condition. So it is very important in our lives that people will lose confidence and trust in us. Point number four in the results of gossip. It ruins your relationship with your friends. Always. It will always take them away from you. And in Proverbs 18:8, the Bible says, words of a talebearer are as wounds. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. What is the solution to this gossip problem? And I believe as we consider this, it's not that it's without hope in how we can live our lives and live beyond this. But let's remember, it takes effort on my part. What is the solution to gossip? Determined by God's grace to not be a tale bearer. A tale bearer, when you think of a tale bearer, it's an individual that is possibly thought-minded to go the wrong direction with all this. But when you take that word apart, it's a person that has tales which they represent, and they can be a story of something, or they can be true, or they can be false. But a bearer is somebody that bears up and takes the load. So they're actually an individual that will carry with them personally all the time another story for someone else to hear. Bearer, tale bearer. Or as wounds. And people get hurt in situations where stuff like that happens. Point number two. said something to our ladies about what it means to gossip. But you know what? It's interesting to me that in the scriptures, and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, it talks about the deacon and how he should live a life of good report. But it also says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, and faithful in all things. I'm sorry, this is the bishop's wife, not the deacon, but I believe it applies to the deacon too. It I had read this whole portion, and then in the deacon's role or qualifications, it says it doesn't specifically mention the wife, but it says that he should be a husband of one wife, ruling his children well in their own houses well. And when it talks about slandering, remember what I said slandering was? It's making utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement or comments damaging to a third person's character or reputation. It's always talk about the next person that they're not in company with at the moment. And when I say that, when you think of what it means to stay with the truth, I always challenge the fact, and we do this when we take an oath. We say, I affirm, meaning that it doesn't matter what you want to present to me, I'm a person of the truth. If you take an oath, you're saying, well, I might tell the truth, but if it doesn't apply all the time, I might not. But a person that affirms and is truthful always is the kind of individual you want to trust and believe in, don't you? That's the kind of people you want as your advisors, your direction in life. And ladies, nothing on you, but when you think about how you need to respond in these given areas, and when the Bible speaks about it, it's for you to recognize that you are important in the role of your husbands if you are married. Very important. Point number three. People will trust you with confidence. And I talked about that some before. And it takes us back to Matthew chapter 18. You can look at that sometime and read it, and it'll speak to your need. But what I want to close with this morning is in Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Here's where David the psalmist wrote this psalm, and he's crying out to the Lord. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee, and let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. But you notice what he comes to now. He says, set a watch. Or either help me to guard, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Folks, it's a challenge for us to live this life of using our conversations in a proper manner, always staying with truth, and not desires of other situations, but let's be people of integrity with how we express ourselves. There is a little poem that I want to read to you as we close. It's just a few lines in thinking about the guard of our mouth. There is a little door that everyone can close, and that's the little door just underneath your nose. Let's kneel to pray. Father, we come to you with grateful hearts for your love, your provision and care. Thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. I pray for each one present that your spirit would continue to guide each life. And Father, this thought of how we respond in many ways about gossip and talebearing and slandering. Oh, Father, we pray for grace and mercy and strength to live above that. And Father, we would live our lives with integrity that people could build confidence and trust in us and through us as they express themselves to us. So Father, give us the strength and the grace as a brotherhood to love and care for each other. And in difficult circumstances and situations, you would help us and guide us and lead us to do what's right. So Father, make us a blessing to yourself and help us to be faithful. and guide our ways through the coming week as you grant us opportunity. We give you the praise and thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.